Thank you so much. We have persons, I'm reading a WhatsApp. There's a person here who's talking about the QEH phlebotomy section, and they're a little annoyed at the fact that there hasn't been any notice or any information as to where the new directions are. Persons have turned up, they're diabetic, and some of them have had to fast, and they're not getting getting through as fast as they should. There are no chairs. They're seniors, persons with canes, and they want to know, why are people treated like this? So we encourage the QEH phlebotomy section to share via either the GIS where your new place is and what's happening, so that people know what is expected when they go to take blood. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I just wanted to make a comment on an earlier caller who made the remark about David Kamishong's appointment.
Yes.
Just remind him and all others who have been making comments to remind him that Bobby Morris was a campaign manager for the DLP for the 2013 elections. And immediately after that, he was appointed ambassador, Barbados ambassador to CARICOM. He remained in that position until he resumed as campaign manager for the 2018 elections. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing new for Barbados to have an ambassador CARICOM.
I reminded him that actually I remember in 2000 and not even 2000, in 1994, as early as 1994, when I first found out about the post, I think there was a different title given to that person, Mr. Nigel Barrow, and he was the CARICOM ambassador. It was just termed differently. But this is something that has been happening for quite some time. Persons as well who are affiliated and some who are not affiliated with various parties have been given that position.
And I think also, just finally to mention, while I have had good respect for Bobby Morris as an individual, I've since lost that based on the campaign and strategies he led for the party. I don't think anyone could question David Kamishong's ability, qualifications, and sincerity in performing the position of ambassador to Barbados in CARICOM. That's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Last week when I started, I would have offered congratulatory comments to Ambassador Kamishong. At that time, I didn't even know the term was ambassador. I called him advisor to CARICOM. It has since become... But, you know, it's come to the press that his title is now ambassador. And I will say it again. I think he's an ardent advocate for many issues. And I think he's well qualified and well placed to advise any government of Barbados on matters relative to CARICOM. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir. I haven't heard you.
Yeah, okay.
Since that 90-day period and then that May 24th yeah. And then...
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
I thought you were finished with me.
No, I would not. Would not. Having put in a female prime minister, I would laugh at you.
Aye.
A female moderator,
I would not.
Anyhow, I want to lend my support to Kamishong because I knew him. I was part of the climate pay movement. Okay. He has received what is truly his. He worked for it. I recall we kept public meetings pertaining to the vendors when they were being harassed by the police officers. And we kept a series of public meetings in support of the vendors. Recently, he was involved with the Hyatt on principle. And there are very few lawyers who have taken that stance to when they see things wrong to speak out, unless they are receiving cash. But he is not one of those. He believes in something. And he get what he deserves. I also want to commend my moderator, Dennis Johnson, for doing what he did yesterday. And
yes.
It bring me right back to these camps. I believe that our students do not know about Barbados as they should. As a taxi operator, no, I myself have gained so much experience of going to places, and I speak at least one day a week. The government should provide these camps with a bus and take them around the country and teach them some things that are happening, like seeing Nicholas Abbey, seeing a lot of things, happening in this country. And it brings me right back now to the point that I wanted to do with the water. And when you hear people, and I am glad that Dennis did it, coming on this ear and telling you, telling this country things that I talk about, you must more or less give some support to those old factory builders because they could not build a, they would not build a factory on the, unless they know where the water was coming from. And I had a person came on this ear and said that these water wells, that these factories don't carry any water, there's low and all that. Like, now let me bring facts now to the country. When Carrington factory closed, it turned over their well to Barbados Water Authority. You following me, Ms. Gill?
Yes, I am right here.
Right. And now let me, the latest factory that built in Barbados by the new engineers, which would you call the newest factory in Barbados? I ain't gonna hurt your head. Portville.
I remember in primary school we still had four now. Working factories.
Pardon?
In primary school we still had four working factories.
Right, but
Andrews,
the last
Portville.
It's Portville. That is the only one. Mm-hmm. And to show you that the expertise was not there, Porter do not have a water well. Portville. You know where they get their water from? Porter's old sugar factory well. And I want Water Authority and those who walk in the wrong and spreading propaganda tell about the factory wells don't have water. I want them to prove it to the public because I am still of the belief that we receive all water sourced from a stream and not by rainfall. And I don't have any more to say. All I wanted to do is to bring the facts. And I was waiting on Water Authority to come on this air. I am going to ask them if it is true that they take water from Carrington factory well, and they want to know where Portville Sugar Factory gets its water from. That's an old sugar factory. And on the last note, Sandy Lane, you knew Sandy Lane was a sugar factory? Miss Gill?
No.
But I can let you know now. Sandy
was,
Lane was an old
in.
Sugar factory.
Okay.
And the well at old Sandy Lane, is that well supplied the golf course up to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring in all the arguments and all the facts, and I want them to come to this ear from Water Authority that talking about rainfall and aquifers. I want them to come and tell the public because that same Portville well also support Westmoreland.
Yes.
So it's supporting Westmoreland and it also supporting Portville factory. And I finish with the day. I want them to bring the facts. I bring mine. Tell them bring theirs.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Lisa. Please note that the phlebotomy center at the QEH is now located over in the Enmore area. There are chairs and an office is there to assist those persons that need help. In regard to the wait, that will be expected according to how many persons are there ahead of you. I've been there up to Tuesday with someone who's in a wheelchair and I was given assistance from the time I got there. No issues encountered. Also, no issues encountered. Also, when you receive the necessary documentation from QEH to have the bloods done, through them, the officer lets you know where to go. Putting that aside, I agree with you. They use the GIS to advise the general public in general. They could do that. Yes. So we have someone who also went to the phlebotomy center to give blood, and were assisted by an officer. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mistress Lisa Gill.
Good morning, sir.
Hi. Okay, let me start with saying, I find on this program that when certain people call them with an issue that they do not probably understand, or they're not too au fait with, or in single language, they want to be educated about it.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to have certain moderators that will help crack down the person, believing in mind or making it sound like that the person is trying to be political or that they are against certain things, when to me, as far as I'm listening, some of these persons don't really understand what was put in place or what is being put in place to help out the economy. Then they have persons who are sending an email or WhatsApp and do the same thing and be critical and try to crack down the person. So to me, again, as I say, are only seeking to be educated on the matter. I feel that is wrong and it should be stopped.
So you're saying, based on what I've heard you say, moderators are not educating the public enough?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, please clarify.
What I'm saying, right, is that when persons calling on a particular issue, like I find a couple of persons calling about the pension issue, about why certain people got this amount of money and why they're only got this and et cetera. I listen carefully, and to me, I don't believe in myself these persons were trying to say that these persons should never have gotten that money, because I believe they understand this is a raise, right? But to me, it's a coping mechanism that was put in place. Because
I want to stop you. I want you to explain to me. You're going into a point, but I just want you to clarify what it is you're trying to say. That's all.
Okay.
Yes.
I said that there to get on with what I want to get on with. So let me get on with it. I was trying to clear the air. Whereas when I speak, I don't want nobody to think that I'm being political or that I'm against any particular issue. It's just things that I have noticed, right? And this is one. Let me start with one. As far as I'm understanding here in our society, people are being rewarded for breaking the law. One. Number two. Let me find one to say. Now, watch carefully what's going to happen now. I'm going to speak on a topic that just came to the fore, and you will find some person can call and find all kind of things to say about it, like I'm against it. Okay, let's take the housing issue. Where's that? The land people are going to get in St. John. Where one of the ministers come out and say they may soon get their papers. Now, I know a lot of us are so educated that we know if land do not belong to you, and you go and reside on it, you break the law.
Agreed.
Am I wrong?
Yes, you're very right.
So right now, they're going to be rewarded for breaking the law.
So they're not paying for it? They don't have to pay for it? They're getting it free?
No, I don't want you to find an excuse yet. I want to answer me.
No. You don't tell me what you want, sir.
Okay, then.
I'm moderating, and I'm asking
a
simple question.
About?
No, don't mind.
Give a typical example.
But you can't come and control my program, sir.
No, I don't want
to. You ask me a question so that you can come to your conclusion, then to go on to the next, and I say no.
Go ahead.
I'm asking you, do you know all of the details with between the squatters and the national housing? Do you know the details?
Can I tell you something?
Sure, you can.
As far as the minister said, right?
No, we're going with what we heard in the press. I'm asking you if you are privy to any other information.
No,
whether or not
I
they had
not.
To pay any money.
No,
also, you
I
came
not.
To your conclusion with just
and
mere facts. Okay.
If you're going with what the minister or the press said, it said they have to make some sort of arrangements and papers will be issued and forms will be filled out, which means there was never no type of an arrangement.
Most squatters have an arrangement.
Right, that's what it is. So, in other words, all I see there is that people will be rewarded for breaking the law once they knew that they were breaking the law. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on that because, as I said, people will be feeling when I'm against it and I'll be anti this and that. It's not that. It's that that's what I'm realizing is happening in this country. Now, you of yourself, I re-listened to a program where a person was talking about trimming the road and the bush. A gentleman, a lady came out and found this man picking her limes. And he stand big and bold and said to her, "Move here with these limes, you know, the tree all over on the road, it passed your limemark and all over the road." So, really and truly, he can have access to them. He knows the law. He knows part and parcel of the law. So, I'm trying to say, he or we out here know what is right and what is wrong, what is accepted and what is not accepted. So, when people go and do things and then want to claim now that they are right, it means that they are educated in such a way about the law that they know exactly what they are doing, and they are breaking it in a smart manner. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, you, just now a few minutes ago, this is not being critical of you either. I would have thought when the gentleman said, and you realize, and everybody here realize, that when these persons get this information from papers and these extra whatever information they are getting and whatever, as you just rightly said, you know that they are breaking the law. There is a legislation against that. But you did not tell him or try to ask the person to desist. You tried to explain to be careful.
Which law? No, I'm very serious with you because we hear the specific point was about contracts.
Yeah.
Now, if the HR officer shares information that she shouldn't share, which law is she breaking? The confidentiality agreement that she signed. That's not a law. That's a rule.
Okay,
that's not a law.
Okay. So is it punishable by any?
It's not good. Done? It's not a good practice. It's ethical. So, it's ethical that she's breaking an ethical.
You remember, you listened to when the persons were sworn in by the Governor General, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, certain information is not supposed to be divulged without the whole permission of the cabinet and when they sit. That is right or wrong?
I don't know.
Okay, good. Anyway, let me move on from that. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. There is an act where is that no person is supposed to give away or share information from any part of any government unless given permission to. So when persons come out and bring information, they actually steal and stole.
Yeah, some things do drop off trucks, etc.
Okay, good. So we want to put teeth in then. Stole. Right? Remove.
If something falls in your lap that you should not rightfully have.
Yes. I just put that there to use the words that breaking the law would be steal, stole,
but you say
remove,
that breaking the law is being rewarded.
Yes.
And
you use
the squatter scenario. Now you're on to the
previous that's
colors.
Why they want to, right. That's the why they want to go any particular one. I just want to draw the point that I realize. Okay. That's what's happening in this country. Everybody's breaking it. Look,
everybody's
right there,
a strong term, though, buddy. You see when people use these generalized statements and then they...
Don't be argumentative. It's simple little things. Don't make the same. Listen, persons in this country, look, even the law there with the cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are getting offended with that, although they know it's supposed to save themselves. Protect them on self first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind the main disfigured kill other persons on the world. You know what I mean? It's like... Why do we fight, and yet we find a way with lawyers' help, well, I would have to say learned ones, to find the little loopholes that they knew was there before they even finished draft the law, to help the same persons to get away through the same loopholes. And that's all I was trying to say, right? It's like, you know, breaking the law like is becoming a norm in our society, and people are being rewarded. I don't care what you bring, what topic you talk about. Listen carefully. If you know it was wrong in the beginning, I realize that is what is happening.
So I would encourage persons to desist then from breaking the law, from stepping outside of integrity, and from doing things that are not right. So the caller does have a point. I think we really need to watch ourselves and ensure that our actions are integritous and that we are looking out for our next generation, because the seeds that we sow now are going to impact the generation that is going to come. So whether we may think that it's just a little bit here or a little bit there, let us try to be as integritous as possible. This is Down to Brass Stacks. Good morning.
Miss Gill, a good morning to you, ma'am.
Morning, sir.
I would like to make two little quick points and then I can get on to myself two substantive points.
So you want three callers' positions?
Pardon?
So you want three? You want me to give you time for three people?
No. The 2 points I can make first is this. Quick.
Okay.
David Commerson is going to be proven to be the best CARICOM ambassador there will be. I think he will be.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to say is that St. Lucia and Grenada, they have said that they will not join or put no money in LIA until such time as the books can be brought forward for them to peruse the books to see where LIA is financially.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But, yeah, that was said. That was said some time ago. But in the meantime, they are benefiting from LIA.
How recently this was said?
A good time. But it was said. not by Alan Chastney. I think before Alan Chastney.
Okay.
But to get to my 2 points, and one is what Dennis Johnson was talking about yesterday. And then there's another one. Dennis Johnson was saying, and he understand what he was saying, but I would like to ask him this. If he's working at Starcom for $80,000 a month, $80,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and this is just using ballpark figures, he's working there for $80,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of 10 years, he has a $4 million house.
Mm-hmm.
And the management of Starcom decided, look, we're going to investigate to find out where he gets his $4 million house and this big car he's driving. And they followed the trail and found out, well, he did not make it by working at Starcom for $80,000 a year. And then they found that there was some other means. Should they turn their back on him or anybody for that matter and say, well, we can't prove that you stole the money, so you go along?
Well, I'm not clear. In the investigation, they found out whether he had persons contributing to the house. The house may not be full his, etc. All those details.
To really get into detail about
right,
it.
Let me give you a quick answer and save you a little bit here, Lisa, if I could help him out. My friend, I use this one all the time. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Sir Lyndon Pindlin, salary was $60,000 per year. The Bahamas had integrity legislation, declaration of assets, declaration prior to and after every election. Mr. Pindlin showed that there was over, I think, in the first case, $2 million increase in his holdings. In the second one, $5 million. Both cases, he was reelected. When asked, how does a prime minister get $2 million more in holdings on $60,000 a year, he smilingly said, wise investments, and nothing could be done. Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to tell him he lie? You're going to tell him it's not his investments? Sir, the challenge, but the challenge is, sir, if Starcom Network cannot show that I either A, breached their contract, or B, broke the law to get what I get, there's nothing they could charge me with. That's all I was saying.
And I understand what you're saying, right? I understand what you're saying, but I beg to differ. Because the Attorney General will not say, the Attorney General will not say what he's saying or do what he's doing unless he know that it can be taken further than just an investigation. That's all he's saying too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the other thing I want to say very quickly to Lisa is this. The cabinet and its subsidiaries, if there are any,
and it's
they're
not.
Just like the cabinet.
And its
subsidiaries, if there are any.
Interesting.
I don't know if there are any, but I am using the word subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just look at the law and say, and bring up some charges, bring up some fines and penalties for people who are caught, who are found guilty. But those documents were sent to the Parliamentary Council. And the Parliamentary Council changed the documentation and say that they got to come in line with other charges for similar offences because the ones that the cabinet put there were too harsh.
Okay.
The question is this, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Miss Gill. The question is this. Mm-hmm. I want to know if the Parliamentary Council has the authority to revoke or to turn around or to alter or do whatever they feel like with documentation or rules that was made by cabinet and its subsidiaries. That's the question I would like answered.
Okay. The chief parliamentary counsel has the responsibility for the drafting and final drafting of all legislation in Barbados.
Yeah.
With the input of various ministries. At the end of the day, although the ministries would all share the brief, etc., the CPC is the one responsible for the drafting. Now, they do get guidance from the respective agencies and ministries as necessary. But to say that they revoke something is their suggestion or their best opinion that would then guide the cabinet as to, this may work or this may not work. And they are the governing body to do it. Nobody else can do it. In fact, I remember in 2001, we had some funds from a Canadian entity, and they offered to draft some legislation on behalf of Barbados, and the CPP sent a pretty harsh note citing that no external forces will be drafting our legislation in Barbados.
Yeah,
this is something that we will be doing. We had to stand back and, wait until they had time to draft the said piece of legislation to advance that particular issue for us at that time.
But Ms. Gill, let me get in here, please. Although I would agree with the CPC that no foreign entity should be able to draft no laws in this country to benefit their own cause or purpose. I agree with that. But all I'm asking is simply this. In as much as the CPC has the right to look at the drafting of the laws to determine how far they go to Parliament. I still asking the question if they got the right to reject, not wholesale.
Within reason, yes. I answered you. Within reason, yes. If they find that it is not in keeping with international best standards, with other legislation that exists in Barbados, or with the normal strategy as it relates to the law, they will revoke it, and they have that right. That's why I responded to you to say yes.
Mm. Okay, I wasn't clear on it, right? Because I wanted to know if the CPC would then have as much power as cabinet.
But it's not having power. It's not just having power. It is that they are the what you call it, the competent authority that is given the right to make and to make the final say. Of course,
on laws that is being drafted.
Yes, and of course, under the guidance, as I said, of either minister, whether it's a minister or a ministry or an agency, they are the ones who we in Barbados take their what they say as gospel. However, and I hear where you're going, and I understand your concern. It is not to say that they would supersede, and I think they would supersede a minister, but it is to say that the minister is guided by them as it relates to drafting of legislation. Now, the input and the brief, which is what I said earlier, the brief that has been prepared by the ministry comes with the requisite content and the advice and the information for the pertinent to that ministry that is key that CPC may not have that knowledge of. So let's use an example where we say we're going to increase the price of t-shirts at the border of Barbados. Just using any arbitrary example.
Right.
The Ministry of Commerce would then, in conjunction with the Foreign Trade Division, would then talk about the tariffs of Barbados, share what is our what we can go up. In other words, if our bond rate is 60%, we can only go to 60%. So the CPC can't draft it and put in 90% when the laws of Barbados don't allow us to go higher than that. So within the confines of what the brief that comes from the Ministry of Commerce and the brief that comes from the Foreign Trade Division, that whatever that says, then they draft based on legal drafting. But within in terms of content, that's what's going to come from Commerce and Foreign Trade Division. I hope I've been of some help in that regard.
Let me just say this quickly, then I'll be gone. Mm-hmm. The CPC then can supersede a minister.
I keep saying the word is supersede. They are the competent authority
to finalize
the drafting.
You just use the word supersede, Ms. Gill. So I use it too. So you say that the CPC can supersede a minister.
If the minister's suggestion or the minister's brief is not in consonance with what existing legislation is, then they can supersede, yes.
Right.
But the CPC does not have power over the minister, which is why I don't want to use the word supersede in that regard. The CPC, which is the Chief Parliamentary Council, they do not have authority over the minister, as in head of minister, but they have authority over legislation drafting. I hope I helped.
By the minister, right? And it seemed like they also have power over some power, you should say, over cabinet as well.
I didn't say that.
But thank you.
Thank you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air. And that one is ticklish, huh? That one. I think it's clear. But using terms like authority and superseding and that kind of thing, sometimes it can misinform people in some regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you on the air?
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you clearly.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Gill, and good morning, Dennis, and good morning, listeners.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you hear the word Bible, it sometimes brings different reactions and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share a conversation I had with a young man some time ago. He asked me, "You believe that Noah killed all the animals in the ark for truth?" I said, "Yes." He told me, "Man, you're foolish, man." I said, "All right." I paused. I ask you, ever ponder where the air you're breathing come from? He didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to him, "You ever got up in the morning and noticed that you could open your eyes, do not have to adjust the color, the contrast, the tint, or the brightness?"
Did they ask you ever get Akita acid, and it's when you want sweet, and the taste no overlap? Then he said, Barbados was independent, gained independence on the 30th of November, 1978. Let me die too. I said, how you know that? Everybody know that, man. I said, but you born in the 80s, how you know that? And then they told him because it was documented in writing. That is how you know that. I say, let me tell you something. The Bible says that God blew into man's nostrils the breath of life and he came to the living soul. That's all the right thing. God ain't got nothing more before that. Anybody will have to bring something and tell me, well, God made man out of stone and put a microchip in it and start to walk. I said, I could tell you that Barbados was independent in 1966. Because I born in 1961, so I know that for a fact. I was before that. The only boy that was before Adam is God. There were boys before Adam could come and tell me nothing else. And then he started to go down that road. I said, but I asked you to ponder these little things.
So you think that the Bible is the infallible word of God with that book that has been given to mankind to live and to operate in?
But it's just these little things that you ponder. You know, I wasn't always a Bible man. You know. I used to live near the beach. And something that used to catch my mind all the time is how the sea just come to land and just get back out. But I was never read a Bible. But you know what? I read it in the Bible. I was like, this is in the Bible. Where did Thomas say
Genesis.
The barricade the sea to us. And it stuck with me. You know, these little points. I mean, people just go and let all sort of historians and professors go and study a lot of knowledge that is divisible, the word is foolishness with God, and confuse the head. All I'm asking people to ponder these things. And this air we breathe, it affects us, or even the animals have to deal with it. You can't go down the town and buy it in the store. You know, because I listen to this program, right? I listen every day. And people have their opinions about the Bible. But what I like to do is find common ground. A reason. So that is all I would like to say to the naysayers about the Holy Word. I mean, you got your opinions, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But ponder little things, how water gets in a quarter.
How water got in.
A quarter. Do you know what I mean? Just ponder this, I know, just think about it. Mm. And you're going to be scientific and saying you're mad, but there's only water leave with them now. They got a bird, Madam, a very small bird, it can fit in the palm of your hand. Mm. It flies from the north in the winter. It goes up into the sky and meets a wave that takes it to Brazil. Thousands and thousands of miles. Now, what's the part of this here now? There's been a warm climate. Really, weather do not change. But that bird knows when to get ready, go back up in the sky, catch back that wave, take it back to North America. Ponder those things. Thank you very much, madam.
Thank you, sir. I fully endorse your commentary. The Bible is that book that is, I think, in Sunday school book. I can't remember the term, oh boy, for life. I'll remember Bible. The acronym actually has a meaning, but it is the Word of God, and I believe that it is something that we should read and get some wisdom from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's one of my verses that I took from Proverbs. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Engineers, the professional engineers, Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, when they get to the section dealing with sick buildings, particularly the health and the implications for our bodies and our respiratory system, etc. So we'll hear from you until we join them. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good.